several of my dear brethren, and they have been suffering trouble. Some have health trouble. Some have family trouble, being rejected for the gospel's sake. Some have employment trouble. Some have sorrow from the passing of a dear believer. And when suffering comes, I tend to read the book of Job. John Gill said that Job is a preeminent type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them were great and rich beyond comparison in the beginning. And then both of them suffered the deepest poverty and suffering, and Christ infinitely more than Job did, even more than Job did. And then in the end, they both were blessed with greater riches than they had before. Christ went back to glory. He came as the Son of God. He went back as the God-man. He went back the head of and anointed head of His church and with all His people. So He went back with much more than He came with in that sense. So He is a type. But I hope tonight not only to speak of Job, but of our Redeemer. And I hope this will be a comfort to you as you hear it. Now I want to focus our attention on this statement that Job made in verse 10. Job chapter 2, verse 10. Job says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Our subject is receiving good and evil from God. Now, most people would have a very strong objection to say that evil comes from the hand of God. But this is so. This is what the Scriptures teach throughout the Scriptures. And by God's grace, the believer is brought to thank God for our troubles, just like we thank Him for the good things He gives us. And that's all by grace. We don't like to suffer. I don't like it. You don't. And we don't want to suffer. And the only way we really go through it is by God's grace. But He will bring His child to thank Him even for the trouble that we suffer. Now I want to show you three things. I want us first deal with God's sovereignty and then see how God brings good from evil. And then lastly, try to look at a few reasons why believers suffer evil. First of all, God controls the good and the evil. God controls both the good and the evil. Thy God reigneth. That means everything's in His control. He has unlimited sovereignty over all things. That's the essence of being God. Nobody's above Him. Nobody's competing with Him for sovereignty. He is over all. He created everything for Himself. Revelation 4:11, He said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Everything. He made everything. Satan was an angel created by God. And he was cast out of heaven with a host of angels because he rebelled against God. But God created him, and he's going to work God's good pleasure. That's all he can do. Look over at 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse 11. I can't turn to all these scriptures, but I want to show you a few of them. 1 Chronicles 29. And look at verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 2. God's not a spectator. The government is on Christ's shoulder, and our God and our Savior, our King and our Savior, is ruling everything and reigning over all. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand, and none can say to Him, what doest thou? That's Christ. That's our God. He rules everything. After tornadoes and hurricanes and floods, you hear people say, well, God didn't do this. The Scripture says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood like a king sits on his throne. The Scripture says, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. And even the smallest things He controls. Of a little tiny sparrow, He said, he shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But of His children, of His elect, He says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. From the least little thing to the greatest thing. It's easy to see His sovereign hand in a storm, in a tornado or a hurricane. But even in minute details like the hair of your head, He's controlling that too. He controls everything. Look here in 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. Brethren, don't just strike it from your vocabulary or saying anything like, I'm lucky or I've been unlucky. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as luck or chance. God controls everything that comes to pass. That's dishonoring to God to say, attribute something to luck or chance. God's ruling it. He rules everything. And He rules even the evil. He said in Amos 3:6, shall there be evil in a city? And the Lord hath not done it? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? In Isaiah 45:7, He said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now that's His word. That's what He says. I do all these things. Now understand this. The evil that's committed is not from God. He's not committing evil. No sin's going to come from God. He's just in everything He does. The judge of the earth shall do right. But Satan and sinners are the ones from whom the sin comes, the evil comes. But see, God controls Satan and He controls all sinners. So no evil is going to come forth unless God, it's God's will and God's decree for it to come forth. We can see that here in our text if you want to go back to Job 1. You know, when Peter was talking about the devil, he said, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He has to have permission. And then with sinners, you know, it says the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. But what did they do? Whatsoever His hand had determined before to be done. It was wickedness that came from their hands when they crucified God. But they only did what He permitted them to do. They only fulfilled His will, what He had determined before for them to do. Look here in Job 1:8. I read that to you in the first of our chapter 2, but here we see it again, verse 8. He said, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" The Lord asked him, "Have you considered Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord. Now listen to what Satan said. Does Job fear God for naught? Does he fear you for nothing? Has not thou made a hedge about him? See, Satan couldn't touch him. God had a hedge around him. And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? God was protecting him from Satan. "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." That's how Job had everything he possessed. God gave it to him. "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in your power. I'm giving you permission. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." God drew a line. He said, "You can't go beyond this point right here. You can't put your hand on him. But you can touch his substance." And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God's the one that gave Job everything he had. And God's the one that took it all away, including his children. And he used a tornado, he used Sabaeans, he used Chaldeans, he used Satan. God used some second causes, but Job didn't attribute the glory to the second causes. He attributed the glory to God. Look in verse Job 1:21. Job worshipped, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord did, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now after this, God gave Satan permission to touch his flesh. And so now, Job's covered from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He's covered in leprosy and boils. And he's got a piece of a pot, a shard from a pot, and he's scraping his skin where those boils are, sitting in the dust. And now his wife's come, and she's saying, "Are you still maintaining this integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" And with all this now, he still says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" You see what he says? "Shall we receive all those good things from God and not receive this trouble that I'm facing?" He knew where it came from. So we see here, brethren, everything that comes to pass is from God. Now, let me show you this second thing here. I want you to consider the good things God's given you who believe. The good things He's given to you. And as you consider the good things He's given to you, I want you to notice that these good things came from evil. They came through evil. God gave us His Son, His unspeakable gift. Why? That's something very good that God gave us, unspeakably good, His Son. Now, why did He give His Son? Well, Adam, Satan entered the garden, beguiled Eve, and Adam sinned. And when he did, the whole human race was plunged into sin. All of us were. And because of that, God sent forth the last Adam. The last Adam. We wouldn't have known the last Adam. We wouldn't have known Christ His Son if sin hadn't entered in. And like Job's wife, she tried to save Job from that suffering. She's trying to stop him from suffering this. Just curse God and die. Just be done with it. Don't go through this suffering. Peter did something like that with God, with Christ. He didn't want Christ to go to the cross. Remember he tried, "Oh no, you're not going to go to that cross." And you know who was behind Job's wife and who was behind Peter's objection? Satan was. Christ said, "Get behind me, Satan." And Job said, "Shall I receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall I not receive evil?" Christ said, "Shall I, this cup which my Father's given me, shall I not drink it?" And so Christ went to that cross. And wicked men with wicked hands did everything that they wanted to in their heart to Him. God permitted them to do what was in their heart. And He suffered greatly at their hands. Greatly at their hands. And He did that to declare the very righteousness of God to His people. He did that to show forth the righteousness of God. Was it evil in what was happening? Oh, it was extremely evil. But God was bringing good from that. He was showing His righteousness in that. Christ bore our sin and He bore our shame. That troublesome, evil thing that He hated, He bore that. Why? To carry them all away. To carry our sins away. Was that a good thing? Yes, it was good. Christ went to that cross and was made a curse for us. Why was He made a curse for us? To redeem us from that curse. Christ was forsaken of God the Father. Left hanging there in darkness. Why? So that none of His people will ever be forsaken by God again. He arose from the dead and sat down at God's right hand. And no greater good can you receive. No greater good can you receive than to have eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that came to us through much trouble, through much evil. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That through His poverty, you might be made rich. Brethren, was God in control when Satan entered the garden? When Satan beguiled Eve and then Adam sinned and we fell in Adam, was that evil? Did it cause us to sin? Did it cause us to become sinners? And was that troublesome to you and me? Was that evil? Did God give that? He gave that. But you see, if it wasn't for that sin, it wasn't for Him giving that evil, you and I wouldn't know the good of having eternal salvation in Christ our Redeemer. We wouldn't know it. God worked it for the good of His people. That's why He did it. Why He did it all. The good news of God being in control of all evil, the good news of that is He's in control of all good. And He can, from that evil, He can bring all good out of it. See, if He's not sovereign over one, He's not going to be sovereign over the other. Isn't that good news to know He's sovereign over the evil? He can bring good out of it. Because He's sovereign. He's able. He's able. What about this? What about the fact that you had temporal life? Where'd that come from? God gave it. He gave you your first birth. It was in your mother's womb. Was by God. And you came forth by God. And yet, what were you when you were conceived in your mother's womb? Nothing but sin. Evil. That's all we were. And we came forth. And all we ever did during our days of rebellion, all we ever did was evil. Remember when God looked upon the children of men in Noah's day? And He said, the thoughts of the imagination of their hearts is only evil continually. That's all we brought forth. That's all we were. And yet, if it wouldn't have been for that, we wouldn't know the greatness of God's irresistible and preserving grace to us through Christ's blood. We wouldn't even know about that if we hadn't been sinners. What about this? By His grace, God gave us the gospel. Sovereignly sent you the gospel, made you hear the gospel, gave you spiritual life, and gave you faith in Christ. But I'll tell you this, when he started that work, that didn't come as good news to you at first. It came as trouble. Great trouble. A sovereign God who does with His own what He will? You've never heard that before. A God who can choose whom He will and pass by whom He will, and we can't question Him? That was foreign to us. A God who comes forth in human flesh and lays down His life and redeems a limited number of people, God's elect, and them only? That message is hated by men. And that came forth as trouble to us. To be told our will didn't help us and we weren't going to be able to do anything to help God out, that God irresistibly gives life and saves and calls us to His Son. To be told that all we are is unwilling and unable and unprofitable and none good, none righteous, no, not one. I'll tell you what that came across as. Evil. It came to you as trouble in the beginning. And when God started breaking that stony heart, I guarantee you what happened. He starts stripping you of all your righteousnesses and all that you thought was good and all that you thought would commend you to God. That was trouble. That was troublesome to us. It was to me. It brought you down, kept bringing you down. Every time you'd try to think you found a loophole, He'd close it. And just kept on, till you didn't have anything to hold on to. And then He showed you Christ. But you see, you wouldn't have had that. You wouldn't have seen the glory of His grace and the majesty of Christ and what He's accomplished by His finished work if God hadn't showed you what an awful, horrible, evil, wicked sinner you are. We wouldn't be able to say this, who maketh thee to differ from another, and what do you have that you didn't receive? We wouldn't even have a clue about that if it wasn't for God saving us from us, from our sin. Right now, all around us, go to Romans chapter 9. Right now, all around us, you see all this wickedness going on, and you see in religion and out of religion. You see these politicians now, and I just hate that we got to have it on TV for another 6 months. But you see it all and you hear this blasphemous, evil message of universal atonement. A message of Christ who died but didn't accomplish anything by it. That man's will has to make His blood effectual. That's blasphemy against God. That's evil. Why does God permit that to be in the world? You know that's a gift to us just like everything else is? Why did He do that? Why does He permit that to go on? It's all in His control, every bit of it. Why does He do that? Look here in Romans 9, verse 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see, they're there to show us this great contrast. There's no difference in me and you and the rebel that hates God. There's no difference in our flesh. But God shows you the riches of His grace to you. He called you out. I had somebody the other day call me after a message or wrote me an email after a message. And they said, now, did I hear you right in the message that the reason that God chooses some and passes by others, one of the reasons is to show His child of mercy what great grace He's shown them. I said, that's one reason. That's what Romans 9 says. And I think they found delight in it. I think this person was delighting in that for the first time. I hope so. I hope they were. But they got it. They understood it. And I didn't even read that text or speak on that. They just got that from what I was preaching. And that's so. That's why God does it. To show mercy, great mercy to His people. By giving Christ and giving His people all this great trouble, God shows us so great salvation that He's worked for us. But you wouldn't see it if it wasn't for this great evil. You'd see it in contrast with it. Now let me show you lastly, why does God give us evil and trouble to suffer? Why does He do that? The physician will tell you, tell a believer that he's got a disease and he's sick. And it's troublesome. That's trouble. That's troublesome. Can't sleep. It's just trouble. You know, it's easy for you right now to sit here and think, no, he's slaying me, I'll trust him. But you don't have that trouble right now to you personally. It's come to a lot of my brethren. It's come to my family. It hadn't come to me personally. It's easy for me to say, though he slayed me, I'll trust him. But I do know this, when that time comes, when you need more grace, he gives more grace. That's the only way you'll suffer it. When you know that loved one, when they've gone on to be with the Lord, the believers passed on to be with the Lord, and you miss them, and you're sorrowful, you're troubled. Or your income's cut off. Or you're rejected by family because of this gospel. And it's troublesome. Those things are trouble to us. Why did God give that? Why does He give that? And then you got your own flesh. You got your sinful flesh that just, oh, it's troublesome. Why did He leave us in this body of death? Well, first of all, God sends trouble to humble us. To humble us. We get to thinking, you know, for instance, He's going to make you think. You get to thinking that you got something beautiful about you. And He's going to show you what you are. He's going to remind you again the ugliness of your sin. And you get to thinking, you know, I'm patient. I'm patient. I got some patience. Lord's given me some patience. Well, so He'll give you some trouble where you need patience. And then you'll find yourself murmuring and don't have any patience at all. Or you get to thinking you're strong in faith, you know. Maybe you wouldn't dare say it. Maybe you say, I wouldn't dare think something like that. But you would think, you know, why doesn't that brother, why isn't he stronger? And all we're saying by that is, why isn't he like me? I'm strong in faith. So God gives you some trouble and waits until your faith just withers away and you call out on Him to help me. Lord, help me. You see, when He does that, He makes you see your weakness. And when He makes you see your weakness, there's really no place for a believer to go except for down at His feet, humble before Him, asking mercy from Him. That's what it's for. That's what the trouble's for. God gives us trouble then also to correct His child. To correct His child. He doesn't chasten all men, just His children. Everybody suffers trouble, but it's not all chastening from God. But He does chasten His child. He's not angry with us. He doesn't do anything in anger towards His child. He poured out the fury of His wrath on Christ in the room instead of His people and satisfied His justice so His people have no sin in Christ anymore. But when we start going our own way and thinking our own thoughts and walking to where if we were left there, we separated from Him. And so He corrects us so that we continue to be partakers of His holiness. That's what He said in Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Children, I know you don't think, most of you are older now, but you still can be chastened by your father and mother. And you think when they chasten you, you think, well, if they love me, they wouldn't do this. No, the reason they do it is because they love you. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with a son. As a child. And we had fathers, He said, that chastened us for their own pleasure, but God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Keep you looking to Christ. Keep you trusting Christ and not looking away. The worst thing in the world you could do, you start trying to clean a dirty floor with a dirty mop. And He's not going to let you start trying to sanctify yourself with your old dirty flesh. He's going to keep you looking to Christ.
our sanctifier and our sanctification.
Now, whatever the trial is that's come to you, don't start looking at the second causes and going, well, you know, if I'd have done this or hadn't done that, or if this would have happened or that would have happened. Well, all that might be true and learn from it, but look to God, your Heavenly Father, who's correcting you for your good. And go to Him and thank Him for the correction. You ever had a child after you've corrected them? You ever had a child later come and thank you for that? That's a sweet thing. Thank you for correcting them. Go thank Him. He's treating you like a son. He's being a faithful father to you. Thank Him for that. That's not usually what comes to our mind when the trouble comes, though. We're troubled by it. We start having questioning thoughts. Oh, go thank God for the trouble. And then He sends us trouble to teach us to bow to Him, to His will, and to exalt Him. He said in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." That's just so. We're never to judge God with our finite reason. And that's what, when we have trouble, real trouble, that's what we start doing. We start trying to, why'd you do this, God? We don't need to sit in judgment of what God's doing. We got a limited understanding. And God's doing things that we can't comprehend the wisdom behind what He's doing. If it comes to pass, you can rest assured of this. If it comes to pass, it's because it is God's will. And it'll say, this wasn't God's will. If it happened, it's God's will. That's just so. Or He wouldn't have permitted it to come to pass. It's God's will. Even the wicked acts of wicked men. Listen to Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder thereof shalt thou restrain. If it's come to pass and it's wrath and it's rebellion and you see it and you think that's just evil, if it came to pass, it's God's will. Well, I don't understand that. I can't figure that out, how He's working that for His people and for His glory. I told Will on the way over here, I'm going to preach a message soon just for him. Stop trying to figure out everything and understand everything about God and believe Him. I'm preaching something right now that I don't understand. I'm preaching something I can't tell you how God can work things. The wrath of man that's coming to pass, and yet He bring good at it. But I look at Calvary's cross and see it, that He did it. He did it. And if He did it there, I know He's doing it now too. To sum it up, here's the thing. The Lord's place is on His throne. Our place is at His feet. The Lord's place is to govern. Our place is to bow. The Lord's place is to do as He will. Our place is to delight that it's so. Aren't you glad God does as He will? Like I said, it's easy to sit here and say it now because I'm not in the heat of trouble myself personally. But I can tell you this, if you're His child, I do know He gives more grace. You see believers go through sickness and right up to the time they die, and you see them just have this grace that they, you know, He's not going to give you dying grace till you die. He's not going to give you grace to make it through the cancer till you got the cancer. He's not going to give you grace to be rejected by men till you're rejected by men. But when you need it, He's infinitely full of grace. And He'll give it. He'll give it. Now here's the sum of it all. What I'm saying to you is, God gives His child evil for our good. It's always for our good. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
It's very common now when something happens, people will say, well, everything happens for a reason. That's man's version of what I just read to you. God's version of it is, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. And that's all. Just to them. According to God's purpose. According to God's purpose. Look over at Job 42. I want to end with this. The last thing that it says in this book about Job. Listen to this. Job 42:12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. But you know what he had to do? He had to go through that trial to get there. Isn't that what he said? He that endures temptation, he that endures trial, the Lord will give him the crown of life. And I tell you this, when the believer comes to that ultimate trial, when we come to that final ultimate trial where we have to pass through death, when we've come to the end of that trial, I guarantee you what's going to be said of every believer, every single one of us. When we've passed through death, that trial's over, it's going to be said of us, the Lord blessed the latter end more than the beginning. You're going to stand before Christ complete, not one be lost, and hear that heavenly host praise Him and glory in Him. And for once, we'll be able to praise Him and worship Him without any hindrance from sin whatsoever. And we'll be able to say, the Lord blessed the latter end more than the beginning. And I can tell you this right now, it might be hard if you're suffering a trial, if you just started into it, or if you're in the thick of it, or whatever, it might be hard till you've brought out of it. But I guarantee you this, that's so at the end of this trial right now, whatever it is. I don't care if you're a child of God, whatever it is, the end of it will be in Christ, by Christ, seeing Him, being drawn to Him, being brought into subjection to God more, and made to love Him more, and to be humbled at His feet more, and to have all your care on Him more, or to be in His presence. Whatever the case may be, you're going to say, the Lord bless the latter end more than the beginning. I pray God will bless that. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You. It's so difficult for us. We don't like suffering and we don't like trouble. But Lord, we thank You that it's in Your hand, that You rule in everything and You're in control of every single thing that comes to pass. Lord, that's great comfort for Your people. Just like You've always done good for us in everything. Everything Christ did at that cross. All that wickedness, Lord, You brought glory to Your name and good to Your people. Make us see that this trial is for that. Make Your people be comforted by Your sovereign, gracious hand. Make them to know, Lord, that You're ruling the waves just like You rule the sunshine. Whatever You do, it'll be right. It'll be glorious, glorifying to Christ. And it'll be good. So good for You people. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin and our murmuring and our questioning. Make us now just rest in Your hand. So easier for a child to rest than it is to kick against the Father. Make us to rest, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.